This is Fresh Air. Last week, writer and actor Wallace Shawn won the Obie Award for Best New Play for his one-character play, The Fever. The Obies are off-Broadway awards sponsored by the Village Voice. The Fever is about an American traveler in a third-world country under siege. There's fighting around his hotel. He's lying sick on the bathroom floor, overcome by guilt over his privileged position in the world. I should mention here that Shawn is the son of William Shawn, the revered former editor of The New Yorker. Wally is best known for writing and starring in the film My Dinner with Andre. He was featured in Manhattan, The Princess Bride, and lots of other films. Shawn has written several plays, but he says The Fever was his attempt to get out of theater. His first performances were in people's living rooms, but he's since taken The Fever to the Public Theater, Lincoln Center, and La Mama in New York. Tomorrow he begins a run at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles. When The Fever was published in book form, we invited Wallace Shawn to talk with us and to perform an excerpt of The Fever.
So I'm sitting, shivering, on the bathroom floor. This cold square of tile on a hot night in a hot country, and I can't stand up to go back to bed. I can't stand up. So I sit there quietly, shaking as if I were sitting in the snow. And in the corner of the bathroom, brown against the tile, there's an insect, big like a water bug. It's flat, heavy, very tough legs. They look like metal. And it's waiting, squatting, deciding which way to move. And in a second, it's crossed behind the sink, and it's slipping itself into a hole too small for it to fit in. But it fits in. It fits. It's gone. And I see myself. I see myself. A moment of insight. It's the birthday party in the fancy restaurant. Yes. There's the table with its sweet and pretty decorations, the fanciful centerpiece, pink and green. And there are all the women in bright red lipstick and the men in beautiful shirts. And all the gifts, outrageous, unexpected, and funny gifts. And there are the waiters serving the salmon and pouring the wine. And there I am. I'm talking quietly with that small, pale woman in the red and blue dress about the love affair with the older man. That film that disturbed her. The actress, the psychiatrist, the criminals. The walks at night through the woods and the country. The insatiable appetite for violent sex. The suffering of the people who live in desperation in the crowded shelter across the street from the fancy restaurant. And as I talked with that woman in the red and blue dress, I thought I was a person who was thinking about a party, who had so many complicated feelings about it, who liked some aspects of the party, but not others, who liked some of the people, but not all of them, who liked the pink and green centerpiece, but didn't really like that red and blue dress. But no. No, I see it so clearly. I see myself with my little fork. I wasn't a person who was thinking about a party. I was a person who was at a party, who sat at the table, drank the wine, and ate the fish. That's it.
I love the way you read. It's our act. When you go to third world countries, does it make you feel guilty for what you have and what people around you don't? I mean, is that the emotion that you often come away with?
I wouldn't describe myself that way, no. I mean, I actually like to be in poor countries, and I'm very happy in poor countries, and I'm, in a way, more relaxed in some of them than I am at home, and
why is it?
Well, there are many things. I was the last time that I was in Guatemala. I was in a town where there were a lot of American and European tourists, and it was amazing how self-important the the Western tourist scene somehow, that each one of us feels that it's so important what clothes we put on each day. And we walk down the street with a feeling that we are unique and fantastic individuals, whereas something about the Indians who were living in the town was you could see that their assessment of their place in the universe was so much more graceful as well as modest. And I find that, I mean, there's something sick, of course, about a person with money loving to hang out in Mexico or Guatemala. and enjoying
how poor people makes him feel good.
Right. Enjoying, you know, the basic, the sort of decency and lack of arrogance of poor people, which has come to some extent from their suffering. However, I'm simply telling you, if you want, you know, you asked about how I actually feel.
Right.
My main emotion as a person is really that I actually like being there. Obviously, in certain places where there are some of the places in Central America are so terrifying because of the violence that is being inflicted on the people that you couldn't possibly have a relaxed moment.
My guest is playwright and actor Wally Shawn. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Wally Shawn is my guest. The fever is in part about being privileged. I want to quote something from the beginning of my dinner with Andre, which you wrote. And your character says, and this is in the early narration, I grew up on the Upper East Side, and when I was 10 years old, I was rich. I was an aristocrat riding around in taxis, surrounded by comfort, and all I thought about was art and music. Now I'm 36, and all I think about is money. And the context of that is that you were, you know, the character is kind of broke. That's why he's thinking about money all the time. Mm. But I'm wondering when you started to think of yourself as privileged.
Well, I suppose that in some way, I always did, but the truth is that when I was 36 and wrote that passage, I was totally obsessed with my own problems and the fact that, you know, trying to pay my own rent and trying to win some recognition for myself as a writer or whatever. And I'm now 47 and say my dinner with Andre itself sort of changed my situation in life to some extent. People said what they'd never said about anything that I'd done before, namely, oh, that was a good job. You did a good job. That was good. And people gave me jobs as an actor for which I was paid money and I paid my rent, etc. And somehow that was one of the things that was in the background of my beginning to, I don't know, turn against myself, if you will, or recognize in myself the enemy of humanity or whatever you want to say. In order to keep me and the other members of my class in what we think of as normal comfort, the poor of the world have to be suppressed, really.
You know, in some ways, it sounds like you should go back to being an unappreciated writer. So you wouldn't have any money, but you'd have a kind of more, relaxed mind. You wouldn't, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be worried about having to live at the expense of others.
I was more relaxed at that time, and I may say more fun to hang out with for other people in a certain way. Because, Robert Brustein said of me...
The drama critic.
Yes, Robert Brustein, the drama critic of The New Republic, said in The New Republic that I was developing the suppressed rage and pinched features of the fanatic. And he expressed a kind of compassion and practically in his review offered to come down to New York and help to take me to a good therapist. But the truth is that he's basically right.
Now, how is this affecting the other part of your work? And I'm thinking of, you know, acting. I wonder if these thoughts that you're feeling now, the guilt, the kind of, you know, political weight that seems to be, well, an incredible burden, if that's affecting your interest in performing in other people's movies.
In the sense that I really don't believe in movies, and I think it's immoral to spend that much money on creating a movie, it does present a kind of an obstacle. I would be much more admiring of a nun who teaches school in a little village in El Salvador than I would be of a character actor in a $25 million movie. So since I happen to sometimes be that character actor, it does present something of a problem at times, yes.
But you have a real gift for acting. I mean, you know, you're not a nun in a third world country. You're a really fine actor. It seems, I don't know, it seems almost pointless in a way to deny that and to wish for a life you don't have or to deny, a gift that you do have.
Well, the fact that I can't reconcile the contradictions in my own life doesn't mean that I shouldn't admit them.
Right. right.
In other words, I actually do believe that books, plays, films, television programs that affect the way people think and feel are of absolutely crucial importance in changing the world. They're not enough. I have a residual belief that doing something truthfully is in some way a value in itself that ultimately will lead in a good direction, so that you can say to yourself with some plausibility, well, if I act truthfully, even in this film that is not a great work, that I'm making some contribution. However, I think that's mostly self-deception because most films are not neutral but are actually harmful and spread disgusting and evil thoughts and feelings. I do try to not do things that I know in advance are disgusting and evil, but because of my animalistic desire for comfort and for not leaving my apartment and not having the telephone cut off, I'm sometimes thrown into a conflict, you know, and kid myself and think, well, this one is not so bad, when maybe in a cooler moment I would have thought, well, really, it is that bad.
And it seems to me like it would probably be, that it's probably in a lot of ways a really good experience for you to act and to leave your own self for a minute and enter somebody else's, you know, like the character self.
Yeah, it makes me very happy. I love acting. And I love I mean, we're talking now. I'm not trying to say that people are clamoring for my services the way they did previously. I mean, I'm definitely in a period where people are sick of me and that I'm not being hired so much. But when I am hired, I love that. I can't tell you how much I enjoy getting away from myself and my own thoughts and committing myself to the task at hand and hanging out with lots and lots of people. It's such a relief for me to do it that I think I'm better at it than I used to be, because I totally throw myself into it, because it's such a pleasure to throw myself into something other than myself.
Writer and actor Wallace Shawn. Tomorrow, Shawn brings The Fever to the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles for a 2-week run. This is Fresh Air.